Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I am G Money. It is almost the end of March, if you can believe it. I certainly can't. This year is going by fairly quickly. I'm glad you all could be with us. Welcome, Akaku. Welcome, YouTube. Welcome, Facebook Live. I am G Money. I'm joined by Todd, the artist extraordinaire, comic book artist.
Bless you.
The allergic, I guess he's suffering from allergies. Gannon in the house, the punk rock superstar, horror aficionado. Also joining us tonight and back after a bit of a spell last week. Format is in the house, the gaming guru in the house as well. And,
hey, that's
of course, the man who is, I don't know how far along he is in his Breath of the Wild. But,
I live in Hyrule.
Yeah, he now resides in Hyrule. It is the chairman of the comic book board who will be relinquishing that title fairly shortly because of Zelda. It is Alika. He's in the house as well. Well, gentlemen, it's been quite the week. A lot of stuff has happened in this past week.
Has it?
Movies, trailers, games, just all kinds of crazy stuff. So let's get right to it, shall we? First off, I want to let you guys know you guys can like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You guys can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. And, of course, you guys can follow us on YouTube. Just look up NerdWatch Nation. It's that simple. And please join us on patreon.com/TheNerdWatch for donating to this podcast. If you guys enjoy it, please do that. And by the way, we're probably not going to need Instagram much longer, considering the fact that Facebook just released their Snapchat, Instagram, all-in-one Facebook thing. Did you guys see that? Has like this new story thing. Like,
I saw a lot of people complaining about it.
Yeah,
I didn't even know what's going on.
We don't do any of that.
Neither do I. And I just,
we barely do the existing ones.
I just read the article. Right, exactly.
How we're gonna do this?
But now it's an all-in-one, so that's good. So maybe I can just focus on just.
I was
the Facebook.
Too busy covering my phone in protein watching the Justice League trailer.
Gosh,
he was eating a protein
bar. Oh my god!
Oh right. Yes.
You guys are disgusting. What did you think I meant?
Oh my gosh! Whatever.
Anyway.
Set precedent. Everybody thinks you're trying to say disgusting things.
Yeah. Anywho, before we get into that, we're going to be talking about. I got an opportunity.
What color was the protein?
Hey.
Sorry.
Hey, just.
Yeah,
just
you don't want to walk down that
rabbit
hole, sir.
Draw, monkey. Draw. All right. Listen.
Wow. It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway,
you're not the first person.
That's a level of disrespect I can appreciate.
I had an opportunity to watch Power Rangers. I got that review coming up.
That's why you're grumpy.
Gannon had an opportunity to watch Life.
And Power Rangers.
Yeah, and Power Rangers.
Life?
And then, of course, Todd had an opportunity to experience Life with his 3-year-old this weekend.
Yeah.
So, that's a stretch.
That was fun. Wasn't that?
Way to segue there.
Yeah. Life is good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The movie was terrible, but Life, no,
that was good. That's good. We got that coming up. We're going to be talking about that. Oh. Justice League trailer, of course. We're going to be talking about the new Spider-Man trailer. So a lot of stuff coming up.
Whoops.
And don't let me forget about the...
We might not be able to run this episode now, I just realized.
It's too late now. He's going to have to... he'll put up a little...
Blur that part of the table?
A little black ball or blur, a black box, and take care of that.
Cover it with a hot dog gif.
Incidentally, do we have red cups for my apple juice?
I don't think so.
No.
But anyway, we got all that stuff coming up. We're going to talk about our reactions to Justice League and, of course, the brand new Amazing Spider-Man trailer, which came out. Spider-Man Homecoming trailer. We're going to talk about that soon. But before we get to any of that, it's time
Is
to recognize...
Is he spectacular yet?
I don't know.
He's
not
just,
yet.
He's just
the next
Homecoming.
Reboot. The next reboot is spectacular.
So it's Spider-Man...
Right.
This is Homecoming Spider-Man?
Yeah, this is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh. It's where he goes to the dance at the end.
So there's Amazing...
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
there's
Homecoming
Amazing.
Spider-Man?
Right. And
is
then,
there like a Malibu Spider-Man?
There should be the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
So there's going to be a few. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about comic books this week. Here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, every single Tuesday is 20% off Tuesday. And then every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday. This store at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului is just stacked with new comic books that need to be sold.
What do you mean? They're flying off the shelves, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but I'm saying on Wednesdays it's stacked with new comics, so it's your chance to come and swim in them here at Maui Comics and Collectibles every single Wednesday.
No, Scrooge McDuck.
You're supposed to buy them and then read them.
Right.
And then swim in them.
Then swim in them.
And then leave.
And then
buy them first, like then swim in them.
No. Anyway, no, 333 Dairy Road in Kahului, Maui Comics and Collectibles. And he's got some great comics here that no one else has, and he's more than happy. If you enjoy any of the comics, you can check it out on Facebook at Maui Comics and Collectibles. And if you see something you like here on screen or you see something that you like on the Facebook page, he'd be more than happy to work something out with you. He ships anywhere in the world as long as you live in the United States. And, check it out, 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Let's find out what's brand new.
The United States is in the world?
Well, yes. They're kind of exceptional, but they're still there.
That's right. Okay. Quite exceptional. So 333 Dairy Road in Kahului, let's find out what's brand new in the world of comics this week, right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
All right, I'm going to start with Marvel, even though Swan put it at the bottom. The top five Marvel releases for this
week. It's
all
up from here, folks.
Ghost Rider number 5. We have Iron Fist, The Living Weapon trade paperback. I think that collects the early 2000 series.
Is he Asian in that one?
No.
No. Okay.
He's Caucasian.
Oh.
That's true. Can you say that?
It's a dirty
Prime
word.
Prime number one. Man-Thing number two.
Man-Thing.
The R.L. Stein series. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-part series, so it's not that long.
So R.L. Stein is writing Man-Thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know that?
I wonder what he did for research.
Okay, all new X-Men number 19.
We're trying to make
I'm not
going to
let him go further.
Yeah, we're trying to make this segment quicker.
For DC books, we got Adam Strange.
I know.
Yeah.
Adam Strange and Future Quest number 1.
Mm.
They're doing like a crossover with DC characters and Hanna-Barbera characters. So, G, you can sit that one.
Okay, sit that
I
one
can't
on.
Wait for the Batman versus Elmer Fudd book.
But they match. They match because you got Adam Strange with Future Quest. You know, he's an outer space themed. And Booster Gold in the Flintstones, he travels in time. Of course, he can meet the Flintstones. Green Lanterns and Space Ghosts, of course, they'll meet. They're traveling in space.
You call Blue Beetle. Did you say Blue Beetle? Is that what you said?
I said Booster Gold.
Booster Gold. I was like, Blue Beetle. I was like, oh, I'm a
Suicide Squad and the Banana Splits because they're both goofy.
La la.
See, okay,
la,
but
la,
the
la,
Batman
la.
Elmer Fudd one's a bit of a stretch because are they implying that Elmer Fudd's a detective?
He has terrible
always,
powers of deduction. He can't even tell what hunting season it is.
He's always looking for that wabbit.
Leave it to Todd.
Anyway.
Jumanji Challenge number 3, rounding out the bunch.
Jumanji nice. Challenge?
Basically.
Oh.
You know who Jumanji is? It's the Jack Kirby character who is the last boy
on
Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jumanji Challenge.
That's
basically,
good,
it, if you
That's
read the comic,
good,
it would be pretty accurate.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Indie Comics, last and least. Indie Comics top 5. Moonshine number 6. The Saga trade paperback, the 7th edition, is coming out.
Is that
which collects issues 36 to 42?
Okay,
wow.
So that's going to be awesome.
Hold one of those for Todd.
Sure.
No.
Why not?
I already have all those issues. So
do you?
I don't need them.
He bought them as singles.
Yeah,
well, including the issue 42 misprint.
Are you sure you want a reading copy and just save those because you collect them?
Hatchet number 0.
No.
What publisher is Hatchet on? Image?
Oh, is it?
They're doing number zeros now? Again?
Is it based on the Gary Paulson novel?
Is it based on the slasher film?
Is it based
on the garden tool?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it based on the tool?
Pull the mic. Francine says she can't hear us.
She can't hear us? Well, turn up your phone.
Old,
no, I'm just kidding.
Old Guard number 2. And that's it.
That it? Right.
Yeah.
See if it works.
Are we good now, Francine?
Wow. So that's a plethora of new comic books this week here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Tree.
It's more of a gaggle.
A gaggle. Tree, Dairy Road in Kahului, or 333 Dairy Road if you don't live up country.
I love how 3 is a word. Up country.
3.
Tree. Come on, man. Jeez. Anyway. Whoa. Why do I hear stuff? Oh, thanks.
Oh, he's just double checking the feet.
Oh, good.
Good job, Swan.
Good job, Swan.
Swing. Way to do what you do.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get right to it, shall we? Let's.
Oh
broach.
My goodness! In this issue of previews, they got Bukkake Winston.
What the hell are you talking about?
Nobody knows.
Stop it.
That's
anyway. Let's get right to it, shall we? Well, we're going to talk about Rangers and life here soon. Let's talk about the big... There's two big trailers that came out that we definitely want to hit first. And that, of course, is Spider-Man Homecoming. And
best trailer ever.
And
the best one that I think came out this weekend.
The new trailer for Justice League. So let's talk about that first. Todd, did you watch the Justice League trailer?
So good.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh,
you liked it?
I thought it was good.
Oh, good. What did you like about it, sir?
Batman.
Wow, you like Batman, huh?
Yeah, you know he's okay.
He's a take charge kind of guy.
Yeah, well, you know he's rich, so that's everybody's favorite superpower.
Yeah, it is.
And he loves using guns because everybody knows that Batman loves to use guns.
Yeah, he does. He loves guns.
That's what he's known for.
Pew pew.
He actually did use guns when he started off.
Yeah, but you're referencing like the first 10 issues and then one issue.
He
in the
also 80s. He also used a rifle in Dark Knight Returns.
And in year one, he had guns and whatever.
Yeah, in year two, it was actually
year two.
And the rifle was a Gatling gun, though. It was just a.
Didn't he use it as a regular rifle?
He might. I don't know. He might have.
Didn't he shoot somebody in that particular? I can't.
Well, he also says later in the Dark Knight Returns
and
that
only fired one shot.
Yeah. Well. He said that it was the. It said in the Dark Knight Returns. It says that like it's the weapon of the enemy and it won't be used or something like that.
Right.
But then he uses.
But then he uses it.
So what's
more efficient?
What?
A boomerang that looks like a bat. That's true. Way better than.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that Batman is more. He is more responsible with the firearm. He would be, essentially.
No. Well, he had a Gatling gun and only fired one shot.
That's true. That's right. It's very true.
He could just do what the T-800 did in T2 and just, like, wing people and blow up their cars.
They could. So Gannon, you being the big Batman fan, what was your takeaway from the Justice League trailer?
Batman fan.
Is he done? Like, is he done with
it? Trust me. You want him to be done for now?
Batman was the least takeaway in that trailer, in my opinion. They just had a few random shots of it. They really wanted to give more spotlight to Aquaman and The Flash and a little bit of Wonder Woman. I think they held back Wonder Woman, which is getting her own movie.
And, well, I didn't want to say Aquaman because that's Alika's favorite. Right. So
don't do me any favors, Tom.
Back when Alika had long hair, he imagined himself as a Jason Momoa type.
Yeah.
But I don't know. People like to bash all over it because, it's too dark and it's not, you know, there's only a little
humor. The colors are dark.
And it's interesting to me because when I watched the trailer, I was like, it's just as dark as the first X-Men was.
Yeah,
it's just
which was amazing.
It's just we're not getting started on there.
The home audience can see me going.
Hang on,
my head now.
But I mean, it's just as full of CG as the Avengers was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just. I think the difference is because they're obviously going for a more stylized approach, and that's why everybody just kind of bashes it for being too CG-ish.
You know, I don't know.
I like the fact that it's stylized. I like their style behind the shot.
There seems to be a grand scale that is not just hinted at, but literally just you take it at. It's going to be a grand scale picture. Yeah. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, I mean, when people say it's too much CG, I don't think they realize how much CG is actually in a Marvel film because everything is they kind of keep everything grounded and more modernized. They're not trying to make it seem realistic, but they're trying to make it look like it's taking place in real-life places that you can actually see.
Right.
Because that whole battle in the first Avengers, I guarantee you, probably 70% of that whole thing was behind green screens.
Well, the
digitally mapped in cityscapes and stuff like that.
The airport was all green screen.
Yeah, the airport was in Civil War as well.
So, you mean all those Ultrons weren't really there?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Just speaking purely on just locations.
I'm finding that hard to believe.
Speaking just on locations, I think the reason everybody bashes is because it's so stylized that they know it's not taking place in a real life place. So that could either be to its detriment or its benefit.
Format, what about you? What did you think of it?
That was cool.
Is it something you would want to watch now?
Well, I always wanted to watch it, but I wasn't, like, you know,
over the moon for it.
These two over
here.
Bat fans.
Woo! Alika, what about you, sir?
I enjoyed it. It was good.
It was good?
I was stoked on it, especially Aquaman, but I can't say that because Todd stole it.
I will say this, though. I really enjoyed the trailer. I'm very excited for it. I hope it's good.
Affleck's looking a little puffy in this one.
He is a little bit.
He looks like he put on his weight. His jowls.
Yeah.
After BVS, he looks like he just stopped caring.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Just
already got the role.
You know what? He's eating Big Macs after that, right after
what's,
BVS.
What's interesting is that everybody said every single character except for one, and that was Cyborg. No one said anything about Cyborg.
I like Cyborg.
You know what it is? Cyborg looks unfinished. His CG looks so...
He doesn't match any Cyborg I know.
Yeah.
He was just...
Booyah!
Did you know he got acting tips from the voice of Cyborg from Teen Titans Go?
Which is what you really want to do.
On how to play Cyborg.
Which is what you want to do. You want to go straight for the silliest version of the character when you're doing a more realistic, rounded, adult version of the character.
We talk about how goofy Aquaman is with his green and orange tights and everything. And his
first of all, it's not ridiculous.
It's kind of whoop, whoop, whoop.
Dude, the guy was riding on fish like they were roller skates.
A seahorse is special. A giant seahorse. Come on.
That was the Super Friends.
But unfortunately, that's what everybody's understanding that character.
Everybody knows that.
That's my
go-to Aquaman.
That's my
Aquaman. Oh, man.
But the thing is, Cyborg is kind of the same because if you look at his original costume, it's like Jean Capri.
There's something borderline metal S&M straps.
It's weird. And then his only cartoon character is Booyah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
No, he wasn't Super Friends. But I think, very briefly.
The look of Cyborg is the same problem as anything else is robotic in movies these days. It's just too overly complicated a design. Like, there's just so many layers and things to look at that it's just a mess that you know what I mean? Like, they should simplify it a little bit more.
Every time
you look at him, you don't know what to look at because there's just so many things going on with him.
Yeah, no.
You look at him right in the one red eye.
Well,
but again, like his rendering looks so a little unfinished. I don't know why they're showing him off so soon.
I don't know. He seems a little. After watching that trailer, he does seem a little shoehorned in. I don't know what he's working on.
I really think that Justice League is actually going to be like kind of centered around him.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Well, because of the mother boxes,
right.
And the technology from space,
plot-wise,
the whole angle
emotionally,
of space.
I'm sure Flash will be where the humor comes from. The Flash will be for the macho stuff, and then Batman's just there to be Batman.
I did notice that
the humor and the macho.
I think Aquaman's going to have some awesome humor spot because like everything I saw Aquaman in the commercial was hilarious. Like
that's
his interaction,
like oval humor.
You dress like a bat. I dig it.
That's hilarious.
I'm waiting for I don't know who does it, but there's those guys that they do local dubbing on top of like cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for somebody to do the Justice League trailer where they just overdo.
You the Batman, brah. That'd be awesome.
It's like, hold on, why you dress that?
That'd
be awesome. You know, there's only two things.
When he jumps off the car, there should be a chee-hoo right now.
What
does he say right before he pulls up? And then he's just like, chee-hoo,
dude. If nobody does, I'll be pissed. We need to do it.
I will say this.
Let's just do it ourselves.
There are two things that we're
not talented enough.
There are two things obviously missing in the trailer.
How hard is just run video and go, chee-hoo, in the background?
Two things missing in that trailer. Yeah. Number one were the obvious one, which is Superman, but I think that was on purpose. And number two...
Yeah, he's dead.
Let me
cut that one right in half right now for you. I'm flashing back to when they had the trailer for BVS that showed off Doomsday, and everybody was mad that they showed that soon before the movie.
All right.
So if anything, they're learning their lesson. Be like, let's hold off on a reveal towards the end of the movie.
I will say this though: the other thing,
Doomsday should not have been blown in that trailer. There was enough to get you excited with BVS without showing off Doomsday.
They did that trailer again, and they said Batman, or excuse me, Bruce Wayne refers to, or he says, "Listen, they're coming. I got to gather a team." And we did not have an opportunity to see Steppenwolf or any type of.
Why do you want to see that so soon?
No. What I'm saying is that they keep referencing
it.
Because
he wants to ruin the movie for himself.
They keep referencing it. I'm just waiting for them to.
He was the one guy
that
was like, "Yeah, Doomsday."
They barely even show you the parademons. Really, you just see some flying guys running around. You don't get a good solid look at them.
That 5 second shot of Wonder Woman on it looked like a beach, and she was in an epic battle. They say that's the beginning of the movie.
That's not Wonder Woman.
Oh, it's not Wonder Woman.
That's the. It's probably her mother, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I didn't know
her.
That. I thought it was Wonder Woman.
No.
Crazy.
No.
So Justice
That's why
League.
You're wrong.
That's
I mean,
it's the war between the Amazonians, the Atlanteans, and the humans. So it's probably gonna have a very Lord of the Rings opening,
right?
The battle between all these armies to protect the mother boxes.
A lot of scaling walls.
Tupacums.
Ogres.
Tupacums.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. But overall, though, I have to say that Justice League trailer was...
it looks great.
It looks good. I think it looks fun.
I don't care what anybody says. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks fun. I hope it's good.
What were the grapes? Because I heard a lot of people were upset about it, but I didn't hear what said the that specific they were, gripes were.
I know that a lot of the gripes came from about Cyborg. I know a lot of people had an issue with the way he looked.
No Superman. It's too dark.
Yeah, it's too dark. I heard that, too.
Bad CGI.
I didn't hear that, but I did hear those three. I heard Cyborg, too dark, and no Superman. Those are the only three.
Really?
Wait, they said Cyborg was too dark? That's racist.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wow,
that's terrible.
Well, I mean, it is a matter of what you mean by that.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
I guess so. Yeah. But overall,
his eye lights up. I mean, he illuminates everything.
Just one eye.
Walking nightlight.
Just one eye.
But you know, the cool thing about the trailer too, though, is you get so many glimpses into what they're doing. You don't really pay attention to the backgrounds they're in. So if you look at some freeze frame shots, you can kind of piece together where they're at and. You see the Kryptonian crash site in the Cyborg scene. Mm-hmm. You see the shot of Wonder Woman and the Amazonians fighting against parademons. And they're very small. You see Lois Lane there.
I think the biggest takeaway is exactly what you said.
You barely see the Batcrawler.
I'm calling it right now. I think that this is our generation's Lawrence of Arabia.
I think Gannon did say it right. I think Gannon said that this is a stylized movie. And I think that this is Zack Snyder going back to what made one of his best movies, and that's the 300, and I bet you he's gonna kind of walk that line between the Justice League and what
so you're saying. I'll bet you one more thing, though. What? I'll bet you, like, after this, he's just like, you know what, I don't want to do these DC movies anymore.
It's true.
I'm borderline becoming Michael Bay doing these movies,
yeah,
so
true.
I might as well just make the most epic Justice League movie I can make that I'm bouncing. I will not be surprised he doesn't do another DC movie after this.
So,
not because he doesn't want to, just because he's probably tired of getting bashed about it.
That's true. It's a good point. Because this is his third one. And then, technically this will be his fourth.
Watchmen's not continuity. It's a DC film, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then, technically it's his fourth film, so.
But then again, since those two universes merge the comics, maybe they can get away with that.
Maybe this third one is in his contract, and then Geoff Johns can get rid of Zack Snyder and put somebody else.
Geoff Johns has nothing to do with the movies anymore. He went straight back to working on the books.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Did not know that.
He's not working on the movies right now.
Oh, good. Maybe we can get some stuff done.
Maybe this will be our generation's Dr. Zhivago.
But this will, and the substitute of the Russian Revolution is the
war between the
Atlanteans,
yeah,
and the Themyscirans.
Yeah,
this
movie's really just about a girl and love.
The Amazonians and the Themyscirans are the same thing,
huh?
The Amazonians,
yes, they are.
Yeah,
are the
same thing.
They're just,
and the humans.
Humans.
He flat out just proved he doesn't know what he's talking about.
he's just going along with it. Why is that true? I don't know.
I said
just
the Themyscirians, and he said the Amazonians.
The Amazonians, yes.
So he clarified that the Themyscirians are Amazonians.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure
thank you, Todd.
I know.
Let's cut to the tape.
Let's go back.
Let's move over.
Let's drop this right now, rewind, don't confirm it, go back to the show.
Let's move over to the other publishing company that matters, Marvel. let's talk about the reveal of the second Spider-Man Homecoming trailer. Starring Todd Holland.
Second, I would say, in Spider-Man's case.
Yeah, it kind of did. And I will.
It's okay.
It's not bad.
When you're coming out after the Justice League one, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's a nice try.
I just found out.
I thought it was a pretty messed up move by DC to do their thing, knowing that the Spider-Man trailer was coming out, and they're like, you know what? We're going to sneak our trailer out first.
So apparently, from my understanding, when I was doing research on this today, they said that
you don't do research.
First of all, I said research. So. What I found out was that it's a possibility that this may be the only time, at least for now, that Spider-Man is crossed over with the Marvel Universe, apparently. He's going back to Sony for some reason. I don't understand what that meant.
Okay, but I actually read the actual quote from the person.
Okay, what did they say?
She doesn't actually say after the Homecoming sequel there's not going to be any more collaboration. She's saying a deal like that will probably never happen again. A deal where the two studios will work together.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually what she said. People took that to take it one step further because what they're looking at is Tom Holland's contract.
Right.
They're basing it off of that.
Right.
As opposed to actually basing it off what she actually says.
Right.
It's not unheard of for an actor to be signed for three or four movies and then they negotiate. Look at look at Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, for sure.
He was only supposed to do Iron Man 1, 2, and then Avengers, and then obviously he's been sticking around ever since. So
yeah.
People are kind of basing it more off of Tom Holland's contract, and not what she... I can't remember the woman's name anymore, but the, what she... Amy Pascal, right?
I think something like that. I know it's Pascal.
What she actually said is that a deal like that might not ever happen, which is true. To have two studios to work in tandem together for something like that is pretty unheard of.
Well, what's interesting is that, getting back to the trailer, there is a lot more Tony Stark than I thought there was going to be, in the trailer at least.
I'm pretty sure it'll have a Miyagi role through the whole movie.
I'm pretty sure.
I got a funny feeling that's the extent.
I will say that they made it... I thought that Michael Keaton... look good.
Michael Keaton always looks good.
Yes, he does. I think Michael Keaton looked really good without the suit on, and when he was talking about the reasons why he was doing what he was doing, the very vague comments that he was making that was interesting. I like that. Gives you connection
like,
to the
guys like Stark don't care about people like us.
That's right. I like that. That was good. That's
so crazy to me. He's in this movie.
It's though. Awesome.
I did not think he would do a movie like this.
It's super awesome. I think it's so awesome. I think Michael Keaton is craving to get back into.
Into tights. I'm pretty sure the paycheck has a little bit more to do with
it. I'm sure. Well, I tell you what, the last movie I saw him in was The Founder.
It's going to be research for Birdman, too.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's right. He's playing Birdman for a second time around. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, interesting. But overall, though,
is he really? I just guessed.
Yeah. The Vulture's a bird.
Yeah. Homecoming has.
This is Birdman 2.
The Homecoming trailer was very good. It was very action packed. I like
the flavor to the first one better though.
I do too.
Because it had that 80s high school movie vibe. This one just kind of felt like
a straight up action
straight
movie.
Up. Yeah. Typical Marvel trailer.
I did like.
I'm not trying to say that mean spirited, but it just kind of came across.
I thought that one shot with the inventive webbing, the delayed webbing in that tunnel was pretty cool.
You know what I thought was really dumb, but I'm sure every Marvel fan's gonna love it.
What's
that stupid thing where it comes off his chest and flies around?
I was just more confused by it.
Drone that comes off his chest. I'm sure Marvel fans are totally on board with that ridiculousness.
Well, can somebody tell me on the suit? It was weird. I don't know what it was, but. He hit something and it comes off?
No, I don't know. That's what was confusing to me is that did he send it off or did it leave him like it was going to Tony Stark to rat him out?
Like he didn't know that was
going to
happen.
Yeah, like, huh?
Right. And he's like, what? So I didn't know if he like hit something on the suit and it was coming off.
It's like Tony recalling the suit.
Tony's got GPS on that suit. What a bastard.
It shows two suits, too, in the trailer.
And if you notice, it's interesting that he's wearing...
It looks like he takes it back. At one point in the
film. And it's interesting that...
He says something along the lines of,
he literally
of like,
says, give me back the suit.
I'm nothing...
I'm nothing without the suit. If you're nothing without the suit, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Then you shouldn't have one, is what he said. And I thought that was interesting. I thought that was kind of... it was a bit... I don't know. It felt like...
What's up, Collector J?
Maybe it's because of what happened in Civil War, but that did not feel like a Tony Stark thing to say. You know what I mean?
Sure it does.
He has to be a jerk in this movie.
Right.
Sure it does. He's taking more responsibility for what people were doing.
No, right.
It actually adds
the
up.
The Accords, man. The Accords.
That's what I'm saying. So Civil War, what happened in Civil War is actually referenced
it
in
it doesn't
this.
Seem like pre-Civil War Tony
right,
Stark,
exactly.
But it sounds like post-Tony War.
Right.
Post-Tony
War.
Post-Civil War Tony Stark.
Yeah. So overall, no, I agree with you that
we know what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
Post-Tony Stark Civil War.
Yeah. Nice.
That's,
good job.
Well, I mean, it looks cool.
See what I did there?
I do. I really do. I mean, but overall, though, I will say that, in my opinion, the winner of this weekend's trailer war was definitely Justice League. I think it did kind of...
Well, we don't know yet. That was last week, though, wasn't it?
Which one?
Both of them.
No, it was today was Spider-Man, early this morning in Maui time, and then Justice League was
well,
yesterday.
Well, we're going from Saturday.
Or Saturday.
Know, because the It trailer comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yes, the It trailer
and
does come out tomorrow.
Based on the 30-second little teaser they did for it, I like the vibe to it already.
Oh, yeah, I do too. But
superheroes in It?
See, Todd.
Shut your mouth.
There are books that are actually written without pictures.
No, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
No.
Oh, okay.
There once was a man named Stephen King.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, he's a great comic writer.
He did write comics.
He wrote American Vampire with Scott Snyder.
I'm
very familiar with his work.
He also wrote Dark Tower, which is coming out.
Dark Tower. We had images of the new Dark Tower with Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba. By the way,
did you say Matthew McConaughey first?
because you know why. But I also know that Stephen
King's... Because Matthew McConaughey is not street.
Stephen King's son is responsible for Lock and Key.
Yeah.
So it's not like the King family is a stranger to
comic books
and or this kind of universe, so that's really cool.
The Lock and Key was supposed to be a television show.
It was. They said the reason why they canceled was going to be too expensive. So that they dumped it, which is kind of a bummer, in my opinion.
To get a bunch of locks and keys?
Yeah, that's what it
Seems
was.
Seems like that would have been an easy to budget.
Let's check how much those rights cost.
I find it hard to believe that TV shows in general are that expensive to make, because they get away with some pretty movie-quality stuff these days.
That is true. I agree with you. Have anybody watched...
TV shows are way bigger in
scope than anybody seen APB on Fox? That thing is... That sci-fi show? That's pretty cool. It's crazy. It's good. And it's got some really high
tech effects. We just watched
episode
of The Flash, where he's run up the top of buildings and stuff like that. Stuff you'd usually see in a movie. And granted, yes, it's not to the exact same quality as a movie, but it's
But back to
close.
The Justice League trailer, the special effects on flash time, you know, slow time and stuff, for the trailer, I mean, it'd be hard to outdo what people are already satisfied with on the show.
Yeah.
And you see it, and it's just, like, mind-blowing.
I think, well, if we're going back to that, Zack Snyder needs to beat Quicksilver in the X-Men movies.
I think he already does with the stop time and the lightning and everything. That it's basically like he got all the good stuff about Quicksilver, plus he got the lightning on that.
And it's called bullet time.
Bullet time.
Bullet time.
Oh, yeah, the Matrix established that. Yeah. Respect the Wachowskis. Bullet time. Wachowski. Bullet time.
Bullet time. Bullet time. But overall, though, I thought that Justice League was probably the winner of the two superhero trailers this weekend. Who?
They slow it down to see. It's even.
It's
faster than bullets.
True,
you can't call it bullet time.
Well, we're
not at the speed of the bullets.
But I'm paying respect to the Wachowskis. Like,
no,
exactly.
Screw them.
How dare you? That's Flash is our character.
Do anything for us lately.
That's right.
Neo might be faster than a bullet, but the Flash can go ahead and can catch.
Did you watch Sense8?
No.
Yeah.
Which means it doesn't apply to me. Something else?
Yeah, you're not meant to care about that, I guess.
Exactly.
But it's really good, so
what's
you
that?
Hurt my feelings.
For what?
Sense8.
Oh, Sense8.
Why we should respect the Wachowskis. What
That's
have they
right.
done
that
for
has, that, that, they did do that lately. That was actually not too bad overall.
It's a show that I missed.
It's on Netflix. You got to check it out.
It's a show that everybody goes scrolling right past so they can get to Stranger Things quicker. They're like, oh, there's that too.
There's that one. Well, listen, let's switch. We're not switching over, but let's talk about movies that came out this weekend. Two big movies were, of course, Power Rangers and Life.
Like the cereal?
Those are our only options.
Like the cereal. Like the cereal.
If this movie was based on a cereal?
Mikey likes it.
Oh,
he really likes it.
He really likes it.
It's based on a board game.
Yeah. Or Life, the board game Life. Right. It is the bromance movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds called Life. Gannon, you had the opportunity to watch that film. I did not.
I just came out of that movie about 3 hours ago. I arrived out of that movie about 3 hours.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did. What'd you think of Life? What did you think of Life?
I dug it. It doesn't go beyond what you think it's going to be.
It is
exactly what you think it's going to be, basically another retelling of Alien.
Is it a Venom prequel?
You know, spoilers, the end of the movie where the shuttle crashes on Earth and then you see the thing
come out, and then
Spider-Man punches it in the face.
And he says, welcome to Earth.
He says, welcome to Earth.
That's awesome.
I did not expect that. No, it is not a Spider-Man spinoff at all. Okay. It could have been a really intriguing one if they'd gone that way, but no.
Well, now we know that they're going to do
Ryan Reynolds becomes Deadpool.
That'd be like the Cloverfield Venom prequel.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that today Sony announced that they're going to do a Venom movie that has nothing to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They didn't
announce
that. Everybody assumed that.
Well, that's
everything about the Spider-Man stuff right now, everybody's assuming.
Well,
because Sony hasn't said this Venom movie.
Yeah, but Greg did his research.
That's right.
So
I was doing research.
So we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This Venom movie is going to be like the Catwoman.
I was reading headlines. So, but anyway, getting back to Life. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I watched the movie, and it doesn't go beyond the expectations you would have from the trailer. It is exactly what it sets out to be. It's the alien story where they find something out in space, they take it in, they study it, something goes wrong, and then next thing you know, something's killing them left and right. It doesn't. Other than what the creature looks like, it's really not that much different.
But is it good, though? I mean, is it enjoyable?
The execution of it is what's kind of cool about it, because it's kind of, if you took the cinematography and the pacing of Gravity
but then shove the Alien movie into it. I think that's where the movie comes together.
Interesting, okay.
Because it's got a great cast, and they try to go for the Alien vibe where they feel very natural kind of people.
I even got the Alien vibe in the trailer for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know. I couldn't get over the fact that, like, is this really the only story you can tell in space now where you find something and just ends up killing everybody? But in and of itself, it's not bad. What I would say, it has a great twist ending to it.
Oh, good.
They kind of telegraph it a little bit, so if you're a fairly clever person, you'll kind of see where they're going. Mm-hmm. But it's still a decent enough twist at the end to where you're kind of satisfied, even if you saw it coming. That's all I'll say.
Are Jake and Chris good together? Are they...
Spoilers? Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds isn't in the movie as much as everybody thinks.
Jake and Chris. Jake and Ryan. Sorry.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is not in the movie as much as people think. He's actually one of the first to die.
Was that a spoiler?
It's a big spoiler. You actually see it happen in a lot of the trailers where you see the thing warming into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the trailers.
Do you remember who wrote it? Is it somebody that we're familiar with?
It's one of the writers of Daredevil. Rhett Reese, I think it is.
Oh, Rhett Reese. The guy who also did Zombieland.
Rhett Reese, and I can't remember who co-wrote it with him. But
the Weirnik guy? The guy from Zombieland?
It's well-directed, it's well-acted, but it's your garden variety story of them finding an alien, taking it, studying it, that ends up killing everybody.
Cool.
The alien creature design is kind of a cool concept and a neat idea until it gets a face. And then once it has a face, once you kind of sort of humanize it in an evil way,
right.
It's not as interesting anymore.
Is it a horror movie, or is it a sci-fi movie, or is it both?
It's a sci-fi horror.
It's a sci-fi horror movie,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I saw another bunch of critics that said that once the creature shows up, it becomes a Cabin in the Woods story where everybody all of a sudden is not very smart at all, even though they're supposed to be scientists. They don't know how to do things in smart, intelligent ways. But I don't know. I didn't catch that vibe at all. They seem to be thinking as logically as you could in a situation like that.
Yeah, right.
But, cast is top notch. They're pretty great. They're not really blowing the doors off of it in the acting department, but they're servicing material that's pretty tired.
Right.
You know what I mean? As a concept. But it's a pretty decent movie.
Trying to reinvigorate that kind of tired old story.
I will say this. If it came out after Alien Covenant, it's going to get bombed.
Right.
But they had the foresight of coming out before Alien Covenant.
So would it be fair to say that this is a Alien light, I guess you could say, almost?
Sort of. I mean, it's a little creepier than Alien.
It sounds weird, but
Alien plays on dark corridors, and the thing can, like, you know, hide itself amongst pipes and things like that, so you don't know where it's going to come. Mm-hmm. They play with the idea, like, you can
where
see
it's going to arrive.
Yeah. You can see how it moves and how it gets around, and that's what makes it creepy.
Thanks, Todd. Now, question is this is a stupid question, but ultimately I'm just going to ask it anyway. Is life an appropriate title for this?
Yes, if you don't know how the story's going to unfold, which unfortunately you do because of the trailers. Like, okay. If they'd kind of just set it up that they just find alien life, they don't tell you how the story's going to unfold, then it works on any level. Because if they're just showing you a trailer of these scientists finding alien life, and then you got to see the movie to see what happens next, then it can go either way.
So,
but the fact that you know it's going to be, you know, you probably want a title that's a little bit more interesting and a little bit more horror movie sounding than just life.
So, in the horror aficionado's opinion, where does this rank on a 1 to 5?
On 1 to 5, I'd give it a 3.
3? Oh, okay.
Just because of the way it's shot and the performances in it. Again, it's very borrowed material, and there's only so much you can squeeze out of that, but it's good for what it is.
Good. Well,
the sequel will be Life's.
There actually could be a sequel to it, but you need to know what the twist is to see what the
sequel is. All right, don't tell me. I want to watch it now. All right, now let's move on to the second film that was number 2 at the box office. Could not beat Beauty and the Beast this weekend in its second week at the box office. Saban's Power Rangers. The reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it, hit theaters. I got a chance to watch it, and so did Gannon. Power
Swan
Rangers.
Did
too. Oh, did Swan see it?
Swan watched it and said he would rather have been reading Thor comics.
Wow.
Which he hates.
Well, here's the thing.
He kind of lists, though, so I think he meant Soar comics.
Well, here's the thing about, if you don't know who the Power Rangers are, Power Rangers are based on Saban's 1990s show about Power Rangers, which they took straight from Japanese
They stole it.
Yeah, they stole Japanese material.
It's called appropriated.
Yeah, they did. And of course, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers became a huge. Huge thing in the 90s. I missed the boat on it in the 90s. I was watching this stuff on Kiku, so I was watching Kikaida and Kamen Rider.
Stuff that was already 20 years old.
Yeah, I was watching super old stuff on Channel 11 on Kiku. That was the stuff I grew up with. So when Power Rangers came along, I wasn't fascinated with it like everybody else was.
It still mystifies me today how people like that show.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
It wasn't little kids.
It was goofy. It was adults, yeah.
No. I was like just like 12 or 13 when it first came out. My younger brother was very young. He was like 4 or 5. I wasn't into it already. It was too goofy for me. My younger brother, who's 10 years younger than me, he's in his 20s now, is a fan and is nostalgic about it. So I think it's like the mid-20s, whatever generation.
In my experience, yeah. There's a lot of the kids that were already that age that were super into that show. I couldn't understand why they liked it
so
much.
Yeah, and after...
Because it was like worse than Saved by the Bell, but they became superpower
right.
heroes.
Right. And here's the thing is that, I don't know if you got the same vibe that I did, Gannon, but it starts off exactly like what we thought it was going to start off as.
I missed the first 5 minutes of the movie, to be honest.
It is a straight ripoff of Chronicle. It literally is. I mean, even down to the crater, it's a straight ripoff.
Well, I'm going to have a very scandalous review of this movie if you want me to go first.
Go right ahead.
I actually dug it.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Okay. Okay, you go ahead. This is scandalous.
But,
go right ahead.
But
preface that.
That's not me saying the movie's great or that I've become a fan of the franchise or that I think – I'm not saying those
Can you
things.
Do one of those Mighty Morphin Henshins for us?
Here's the thing about it. And it's something that nobody else has really been locking in on. The movie takes its time.
That was going to be one of my biggest criticisms.
But not in a bad way. It takes its time. It sets up the characters. It gives you dynamics of all of them. Gives you background. And it doesn't feel like wasted time. In a movie based on the Power Rangers, you want them to become Power Rangers very, very quickly.
Yes.
And move on and get to all the action stuff. I got to say, from the filmmaker's point of view, it was bold to say, you know what? Let's wait to the end. Let's give the characters breathing room to establish each character on their own, each character within a group, the background of the story. I didn't actually expect that out of something like Power Rangers. They don't even do that in a lot of the superhero movies these days.
I agree, yeah.
They just like, all right, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, they're going to have fights because that's what you expect, and then they're going to be friends because they have to be. That's the most we get out of character backgrounds and character development in most superhero movies. We accept it because... For the most part, we know those characters. We want them to get to that place anyway. So it's a bold choice to actually take the time building these characters up for a good hour and a half.
They did. It was literally an hour and a half.
But it never feels boring. You never disengage from it or feel like the movie's leading you away from what you want because you know they're going to get there. So it was kind of cool that was their approach. I would not have expected that from Power Rangers at all.
And I agree with you in some respect, but once that movie just started to get going at that hour and a half mark, it ends. And that was my biggest problem.
Well, that's where I had the problem with the movie. Once they kick into Power Ranger mode, all the stuff that I liked about it got immediately thrown away because they went straight into all of the stereotypical tropes
they did.
Of the franchise. And I kind of thought, well, maybe they were going to try and modernize and contextualize it for what this particular version of Power Rangers is going to be. But no, once the theme music kicks in, they jump into all of the classic cheesy stuff that
made,
quite frankly,
except for this. They don't know how to form the Megazord.
Which, by the way, they still didn't. It just happens.
It just happens.
You don't know.
It happens in the movie.
Even they're like, oh,
and
what
it's,
happened?
And it's their what it is. Would you like to know why it happens? It happens because of their friendship. Not because of like some cool, awesome henshin that gets them to put the pieces together. We don't even see it come together.
That's where the movie fails.
So they took that away from Voltron.
Yeah, they did.
Because that's what happened in Voltron.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to form Voltron.
Right.
Voltron just formed because they were working together.
That's right. No.
And they had Voltron.
Okay. Spoiler alert. The Rangers were going to die. Okay, and they're going to die together. But
they were.
Oh, yeah. They're like, let's die together, Billy.
We're
going to die together. We can't stop this big glob of gold from killing us.
And then
they get shoved into a pit, and somehow they
form into a Zord, and they don't even know how.
And they don't even know how it happens. And just know.
And I'm not a Power Rangers fan, but I was watching that, and be like, that's not how it goes at all.
And as a person that's not a fan,
I think about the actual fan, be like, they're not gonna like that.
when the end of the world comes, it's happening arise. Because of Krispy Kreme.
Okay, that's my other problem with the movie. I could not believe, you know, when people talk about product placement, and I've had this argument before, I agree with you. When people talk about product placement, I usually let it go because, you know what, guess what? When you're walking around, you're seeing brand names everywhere you go in real life.
Yeah, I agree. Right?
Unless the guy holds up a Pepsi and looks at the camera, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
you
I
can
agree.
Let stuff go.
What if it was a Coke?
Power Rangers on the opposite end.
It was
oh
in the
Oh, my
script.
God. It's part of the plot.
It is.
It is part of the plot. I couldn't even believe how big a part of the plot that Krispy Kreme came.
Jason, we have to get to Krispy Kreme.
Like, if we don't get to Krispy Kreme in time, the world is doomed. Like, they literally were saying stuff like that.
What the F?
And, like, all the goodwill I had about the movie, I was just like, oh.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And then I was just like, did Krispy Kreme pay for this entire end
sequence?
They
must have, man.
Because they were set there, like, and you, I swear to God, Krispy Kreme is all Angel Grove had other than the school.
Yeah.
And I only saw the movie once, but I was thinking about it. I was like, is there anything else in this town? Like, no Burger King, no McDonald's, no Olive Garden nearby? It's just got... Rita Repulsa, they spend a little sequence of her eating Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
In the middle of the battle, you see her eating Krispy Kreme in the shop.
In the shop. And I tell you what, I think personally, Rita Repulsa, Elizabeth Banks, she eats up every single scene
Krispy
that she's
Kreme.
In.
She eats up every single she, Krispy
she
Kreme.
Does.
Well, now she's going to fit in that outfit for the next movie.
She is fantastic in the film. She's the only one that I think really gets it. And I really liked her in it.
She embraced it for what it was.
She did.
And she played it well.
She played it fantastic.
But I would say that about everybody across the board, though, because the kids were great, too. The
kids were good.
Actually were really great together. Mm-hmm. And they had real honest chemistry between mm-hmm. each and every one of them. They were decent actors, even though I've never heard of a single one of these actors before. Mm-hmm. They actually tried hard.
They did.
In a movie, you really don't need to. It's mm-hmm. not like the original cast did. They just got to say goofy lines and stuff like that.
Right.
And it kind of even went beyond the expectations of the terrible dialogue, because the dialogue wasn't that great.
It wasn't, not at all.
But it was well performed, which is more than I can say. I don't know if it's the director or the writer, mm-hmm. but I don't know. With the exception of the cheesiness of the Power Rangers-ish stuff towards the end,
because
some of it was okay and some of it was kind of bad. And the Krispy Kreme thing, I thought the movie overall was actually not bad.
How was Cranston's...
Cranston was very... I thought he was very
I would completely disagree. I would say his character was very nuanced and had a lot of dimensions to
really?
It.
Really? I didn't
Absolutely.
Think that.
Because they're playing him as this aloof character that's trapped in a wall, and at one point he flat out hates them.
He tells them,
like, you know what? If I could get out of here, I could do this job better than you.
Right.
You guys should not be doing that. He flat out tells them.
Right, and that is a big...
There's actual dynamics to his character. If you think about for a guy that's just a wall, there's actual dynamics to his character.
Because there is an opportunity for him to actually get out. Because
he was a ranger is what they say.
Right.
He was a ranger and he's trapped in the wall. Right. So he flat out, there's a moment where he's just like, if I could get out of this wall, I could lead this team.
Right, they make that assumption that Zordon is
He's not the loving, know-it-all, I have all the answers kind of mentor. He's just the guy's like... I have to rely on you guys to do it because I can't.
Right.
And I kind of resent you for it.
Yeah.
There's actual resentment to his character.
Yeah.
It's a very nuanced character for someone that has no right to be.
I'll give you that. Maybe I was distracted because the dynamics between Rita Repulsa and the Rangers and him were a lot different, I guess, maybe. Maybe that's what it was. So maybe you are right about that.
I think the movie's better than it has any right to be.
Agreed.
They actually tried to make a decent movie out of it.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, the suits, they're, again, with everything else coming out these days, the suits are just a little too overcomplicated. Honestly, I felt like they could have just dropped Alpha 5 altogether.
They could have. Didn't need them in it.
I know the hardcore fans would miss Alpha 5, but honestly...
No. Even the hardcore fans would be like, no.
They could have dropped Alpha 5, though, is my point.
Yeah.
Like, his character didn't really serve as much where you need him there.
he's just there for people that would expect him to be there.
I have to say, overall, though, you are right, Gannon. I will say this, though. Once the movie kicks in, and this is what I resented about it, was the fact that it just ends, and I was bummed. So I really wanted to see more. And for that reason, I only gave it a 2.5 star. My review comes out tomorrow, by the way.
I would give it a 3, honestly.
Really? Wow.
Because I like that the approach to this movie was less like, there's these 5 kids who are constantly doing stuff to help the community, and it was actually like, this is what the Breakfast Club would be like if they found this magical orb that could help them turn into Power Rangers.
Now, that's interesting.
That's actually a really cool way to approach the movie, actually.
They
even give you that vibe in the trailer. And yes, it's a little Chronicles-ish.
It is.
But, okay, you know, it is a bit borrowed from Chronicles, but not in a way where it overburdens the rest of the movie.
Well, this
plus, to be honest with you, anybody that's going to watch Power Rangers either haven't watched Chronicles or they're not going to remember Chronicles.
True. And to be honest, it is very much, this movie is much better than the director's first film, which was Project Almanac, Dean Israelite. So,
That guy?
Sorry, Format, it's that guy.
Believe it or not, though, the movie's not, it's much better than it has any right to be.
And Gannon is absolutely right about that. Power Rangers is a very interesting movie. But once they finally become the Rangers, the movie just wraps up, which is kind of a shame because you want to see more of that.
It's kind of like Godzilla.
So yes.
They're setting up for a definite sequel.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, they said they have like 6 of them planned.
Yeah.
They have 6 stories planned. Oh, right.
And by the way, I will say this.
Which is a little ambitious, I would say.
The only CGI that I had a problem with was Goldar. I thought Goldar looked awful.
It's a terrible idea for design.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm curious to see what he actually ended up looking like, because in the show,
he's just blobby gold, dude.
He's a monkey.
No, right. No
he's
monkey
just, after he gets defeated.
He's literally just blobby gold. There's no face.
No monkey face.
Really?
No
just blobby
nothing.
Gold.
He's just gold.
That's it.
It's dumb. And at one point at the end, spoiler: Rita Repulsa becomes part of Goldar.
But it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and it
he
doesn't go anywhere.
He absorbs her, and you think, oh, like, well, maybe she'll control him, or it's going to take on her
right.
form.
Right, she doesn't do anything, nothing.
She's just in his chest, apparently, that's it.
Yeah, that was it. So suffice it to say,
Elizabeth Banks actually tried in something like this. You
yeah,
know what
that's what I liked about her.
She didn't need to do the movie, but she did it, and she actually tried.
She did it. I know, her and her love.
Like, it kinda, you know, and like, when you first see her, she kind of gives you that Enchantress vibe to Suicide mm-hmm. Squad. It's like, she should have been Enchantress.
She had a cool Loki staff, too.
Hers was cooler, I thought. Because it had, like, teeth in it and stuff. That was cool.
It's pretty cool. So, overall, Power Rangers, if you want to see it, if you don't think it's been spoiled for you, check it out.
They're going to see it whether or not they like what we have to say about it.
I'm a guy who thinks you can wait for it on DVD or do it as a matinee, not a night film, you know. Save yourself a couple bucks. But Power Rangers is entertaining overall. I was just I don't know, some of the cheesier stuff kind of stuck out at me, but you are right, the first half, it takes so long, and the first half of the movie is very nuanced, and it does a good job at making it a teen film as opposed to
and
like
not a bad one,
right not exactly and not a bad
it doesn't
one
feel like it's pandering to you,
right I agree with that. Absolutely.
The movie does not, I mean, all the teenager stuff doesn't ever feel like it's pandering to you at all.
Agreed.
It's a good teenage film the way Kids was a good teenage film.
Whoa. Whoa. Well,
great twist at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great twist. Well, listen, gents, if you can believe it.
Call me Casper.
We've come to the end of our program.
Dopest mother effing ghost.
We've come to the end of our program. This week, of course, if you don't know, on Blu-ray, on digital HD, exclusively on digital HD, for another week, I believe, Star Wars Rogue One is out on digital HD.
I actually just watched a little bit of it again.
Did you?
I just kind of cut through it to the Darth Vader scene. I still feel the same way about it.
Wow. Well, we'll talk about that later.
My opinion would change,
I can't. I'm a huge lover of that program. I can't wait.
Well,
to
then why don't you
Blu-ray.
Marry it?
I know I'm going to. So that has come out. Also, Patriots Day came out on Blu-ray today. If you've not seen Patriots Day, it's fantastic. This week.
Wait, a Mark Wahlberg film is fantastic.
I loved it. I love that. I liked a lot
He's
of Mark Wahlberg
of
films.
Good movies. Still.
He is
well,
Lone
you know.
Survivor, Deep Water Horizon, Patriots Day. Good stuff. I like it. So you check that out as well. And then
those
episodes
of Wahlbergers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that show. That show's so ridiculous, and it's fun. It's fun. I like that
he
stuff.
He just watches and gets hungry.
Yeah, I do. I want a Wahlburgers here. That'd be so awesome.
Oh, and Planet of the Apes. You forgot Planet of the Apes.
Oh, the Tim Burton film?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I try to forget that one. That's not
a
good
one.
What
do you mean?
That is a classic, sir.
How dare you?
How dare I?
That's right up at the top of Mark Wahlberg's range.
I'm sure it is.
Who?
Who? Huh?
Huh?
Goat? So stupid.
Get your paws off me, you damn dirty human.
Yeah. Make sure you guys check out what's new and what's exciting on Blu-ray and on Digital HD this week. No real big games this week to talk about, per se. Next week, though, a couple of big games. One in particular that I'm very excited for, which is Persona 5. So we'll talk about that next week. I'm hoping to get my filthy paws on that as well. If you're into baseball, MLB 17, the show came out.
Paws.
Filthy human paws. That came out on PS4 this week as well. So check
have you read about that
out.
New PS4 update?
Yes.
Where it's now 4K compatible.
Yeah, so any external drive you have that has 4K content, it'll play.
Yeah, it's not, you can't play the discs. You have to download it to a drive first and then play it through your system.
Right.
Like,
are you riding a pink dolphin?
Well, that's that's what Sony does. It takes the next gen.
Yeah.
You know, first they broke ground with the Blu-rays.
Yeah.
And now they're just doing away with all magnetic media. And just
that's right.
Yeah. That's we don't even need the disc.
Don't even need the disc anymore. It's pretty cool.
Why leave your house?
Yeah. Right? Why
exactly.
even bother?
Why leave your house?
Why even bother? Anyway, folks, we are out of time. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. Follow us on Instagram at the _ NerdWatch. By all means, the one thing we didn't
talk
about,
because
it came so late, we are technically doing the premiere for Ghost in the Shell, but we will be there.
B-Square.
Ghost in the Shell, Maui Mall Megaplex, this Thursday. So check it out.
Oh, I can't make it. I'm just kidding. I'm coming.
All right.
You're debuting.
Cancel it.
No.
Cancel all of it.
He's gonna.
So we're technically not doing the premiere, but we will be there. Ghost in the Shell was a little late. We didn't have time to put anything together for it. But we will be getting back into this.
We were trying to set it up like 2 weeks ago.
We didn't know about it.
Never got back.
We didn't know about it until yesterday.
Doing all your research.
Yeah. Too busy. We're getting prepped and ready for summertime. First big movie of the summer, of course, is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which we'll definitely be doing. So stay tuned for that.
Nifty old double feature they're doing.
Yeah, hopefully we get that. We'll see. Anyway, folks, we'll be back next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. I've been putting up YouTube. I've been putting up more episodes on our YouTube channel as well.
Good.
So keep paying attention to the YouTube page because we got more of our episodes coming up. You guys enjoy those, okay? So for Gannon, for Format, for Todd, for Alika, for myself, G-Money, peace out, much love. Most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, Aloha!
Portuguese are the base lovers.